The Supreme Court did not overrule tariffs. They merely overruled a particular use of IEEPA tariffs. And essentially, it's the
As an accelerationist, should I be upset the tariffs are going away? I don't think the tariffs are going away, man. The whole press conference is Trump saying, in spite of the Supreme Court ruling, I will continue to do everything I was doing and more.
I would have used one penny, but we don't make the pennies anymore. We save money. Can't charge $1 to any country under IEEPA. Not $1. I assume to protect other countries. This must have been done to protect those other countries, certainly not the United States of America, which they should be interested in protecting. That's what they're supposed to be protecting. But I am allowed to cut off any and all trade or business with that same country. In other words, I can destroy the trade. I can destroy the country. I'm even allowed to impose a foreign country-destroying embargo. I can embargo. I can do anything I want, but I can't charge $1. Because that's not what it says. And that's not the way it even reads. I can do anything I want to do to them, but I can't charge any money.
By the way, he's not lying here. He's completely correct. We have deferred so much power to the executive over the past century. What he's saying here is correct. The only reason we're having this issue with tariffs is because of specifically the constitutional provision allowing Congress the power of the purse. The president does have, essentially, effectively, unilateral authority to do whatever he wants to destroy other countries, as he said here. This is the end game. I mean, we're now at the point. The only difference here is that he's stupid enough to say it. Nixon wouldn't say it. You know, Bush wouldn't say it. He'll say it, right? But it's true all the same. And his weird obsession with the topic. With tariffs? Yeah, well, I mean, that's an idiosyncrasy, right? It's always been... There is no... It's all rigged like a casino. There's no way any of this plays out except as a wealth transfer to the top. Nothing that happens at any point will ever be a wealth transfer to the bottom. There's no way for that to happen. There's no Ocean's 11 outcome here, you know? It's always upwardly mobile, that money. That's how everything is designed. This is the end game. This is where we're at, you know? This is what you get after decades and decades of deliberate congressional deference to presidential power. And in my mind, I mean, this is it's a reaffirmation of what I said. We're done with democracy. This is not democratic. Even the acknowledgement of this is not democratic. The pantomime of democracy, the facsimile, creating the shadow puppet impression of a democracy is also part of being a democracy. You need the affect and the effect here. We're abandoning the affect, right? This is what the corporations have wanted the entire time. They don't want Trump molesting the money, but they do want a lunatic, all-powerful figurehead who they have direct and constant access to, who gets to do whatever he wants, you know? They've always wanted that. They don't want anything else.
So I'm allowed to destroy the country, but I can't charge him a little fee. I could give him a little two-cent fee, but I cannot charge under any circumstances. I cannot charge them anything.
Does what they want. Yes, does what they want. All right, well, we're watching it anyway.
Also are a...
He looks great, by the way, like slumping like this, his head sagging down in front of his shoulders. Looks great.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
Remember, Lutnick's happy as hell, in addition to raping children and getting away with it, even though everyone knows he did it. His family company gets billions, as so many companies have sold the rights to their tariff refund checks for pennies on the dollar to his family company.
That's a new record. We set a record every time. Well, thank you very much for being here. The Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs is deeply disappointing, and I'm ashamed of certain members of the court, absolutely ashamed, for not having the courage to do what's right for our country. I'd like to thank and congratulate Justices Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh for their strength and wisdom and love of our country, which is right now very proud of those justices. When you read the dissenting opinions, there's no way that anyone can argue against them. There's no way. Foreign countries that have been ripping us off for years are ecstatic. They're so happy. And they're dancing in the streets, but they won't be dancing for long.
Incidentally, the trade deficit is higher than it ever has been. It turns out it's really, 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 really difficult to build American manufacturing when you're tariffing lumber and steel. So, you know.
I can assure you, the Democrats on the court are thrilled, but they will automatically vote no. They're an automatic no, just like in Congress. They're an automatic no. They're against anything that makes America strong, healthy, and great again. They also are a, frankly, disgrace to our nation, those justices. They're an automatic no, no matter how good a case you have. It's a no. But you can't knock their loyalty. It's one thing.
Again, this is why I say, like, Trump never lies. He genuinely is upset here. Anyone else in this position would be trying for some sneering midwit, like, takedown. Like, J.D. Vance up here would be like, well, what they failed to consider is this provision of this bill. They would try to, like, outsmart, because to them it's all like a yes-and prompt. Trump is, like, actually fuming over this.
You can do with some of our people.
Like, look at, like...
Others think they're being politically correct, which has happened before far too often with certain members of this court, and it's happened so often with this court. What a shame. Having to do with voting in particular, when in fact they're just being fools and lapdogs for the rhinos and the radical left Democrats, and not that they should have anything at all to do with it. They're very unpatriotic and disloyal to our Constitution.
You keep saying we're done with democracy, but was America ever a democracy? Yeah, no, I 100% believe so. Actually, I think it's really unfortunate that the only major institutions that track democracies are like lib shit, you know? I think that what I think of is like how beholden to the public is the government and how well informed is the public. Those are like the two big pillars, basically. Like, you need to know what's going on to be able to make your opinions, and how like affected is the government by the opinions of the population. And we're not in a good place right now, okay? American democracy probably peaked in like the late 19, probably from like the late 60s to the early 80s, probably. Reagan probably marked a declining period. I think the fact that Watergate was such a big deal means democracy had to have been at a high point around there. I think. And it's difficult to think of now, like the idea, because like Black Lives Matter, like how many, a fucking billion people walked out in the streets. What happened? Nothing, you know? Whereas the civil rights movement, the second wave feminist movement, really big strides. Like under LBJ, it had to have been under LBJ, except for the Vietnam War. Maybe that's the most we can strive for. We get to have a functional democracy, except we have one really unpopular war going on. That's the trade-off. That's the most you can ever hope for. I genuinely don't know. But right now, the degree of like consent manufacturing, I think, is almost unprecedented, you know? Do you think Cuba's a democracy? No, the Cuban government's really bad. Unfortunate, it's unfortunate, because I want to root for them, but no, they're quite bad, yeah. Yeesh. Anyway, sorry.
It's my opinion that the court has been swayed by foreign interests and a political movement that is far smaller than people would ever think. It's a small movement. I won by millions of votes. We won in a landslide. With all the cheating that went on, there was a lot of it, but we still won in a landslide. Too big to rig. But these people are obnoxious, ignorant, and loud. They're very loud. And I think certain justices are afraid of that. They don't want to do the right thing. They're afraid of it. This was an important case to me. more as a symbol of economic national security. And also,
I want to be clear, by the way, I think that the health of a democracy is in many ways more measurable by its people than its government. The problem is with MAGA. Obviously, when we say MAGA, we think of the government, but I'm talking mostly about the people. About 35% of this country are like genuine human cattle and cannot participate in democracy. Their disenfranchisement would make this country more democratic, not less. They are so misinformed. They are misinformed in ways that people have not been misinformed before, and they are misinformed to extents that it's difficult to even comprehend, you know? I genuinely do not think we have ever seen an example before of a cult of personality this strong, where the president can do literally nothing to change their mind. There is no other president in American history the Epstein files would not have sunk. That's just one. That's just one thing. Of the million things that have happened, that's just one. There is no other. I can't think of any other. I don't know. Maybe you go back to like 1812 or some shit. I'm not fully educated. I genuinely don't think there's a comparable example to this of a voting population being this programmed. That's because, keep in mind, the media environment that people are marinating in these days is much more complete than it ever has been. Propaganda 100 years ago was like the radio, and you get a daily paper. Nowadays, it's like you wake up, your phone algorithm gives you the shit to believe, radio on the way to work, at work, you've got Fox News on the TV, all your coworkers believe what you believe. It's like an unbelievable amount of control over what people think. So as a consequence, you know, I think that democracy is basically impossible. All of these are controlled factors, by the way. None of this happened of the volition of the people who have been subjected to it, of course. It's pretty bad. Though, to be fair, back then you also had limited access to information. No information is better than what MAGA has. No info is much, much, much better than constant disinfo. The like abject ignorance of a person in the 18th century, like a peasant, would be infinitely preferable to the manufactured, weaponized ignorance of a person who is in the MAGA movement today. And I mean 100% I believe that without question. Not every guy, not every Trump supporter, but like, you know, a lot of them.
I would say just for our country itself, so important, because we're doing so well as a country. We've never done so well.
You say being part of the algorithm? You say having drank the same water Hitler drank? Yeah, of course. Yeah, I do say, yeah.
Good news is that there are methods, practices, statutes, and authorities as recognized by the entire court in this terrible decision, and also as recognized by Congress, which they refer to, that are even stronger than the IEEPA tariffs available to me as President of the United States. And in actuality, I was very modest in my ask of other countries and businesses because I wanted to do, and it's very important, I wanted to be very well behaved. Because I wanted to do anything, I didn't want to do anything that would affect the decision of the court. Because I understand the court. I understand how they are very easily swayed. I want to be a good boy. I have very effectively utilized tariffs over the past year to make America great again. Our stock market has just recently broken 50,000 on the Dow, and simultaneously, and even more amazingly, broken 7,000 on the S&P, two numbers that everybody thought upon our landslide election victory could not be attained. Think of that. Nobody thought it was possible to do it within 4 years, and we did it in 1 year. They said, you'll never be able, you'll go back and you read the geniuses, read their statements, all of the—
Was he on Twitter? Where— Okay, to be clear, no one ever doubted that the stock markets would reach these highs at some point, because that's all the stock market does. If the stock market isn't climbing constantly, it means that everything's about to catch on fire. It's really, really bad. It's a totally broken system. The line has to go up. It can't waver.
Nobel Prize winners in economics, they said, no, you couldn't do it in 4 years. Well, we didn't do it in 4 years. We did it in 1 year. We broke every record in the book, and we're continuing to do so.
Keep in mind that every dollar in the stock market is a dollar pulled out of the real economy. Money held in assets and equities is money that's not liquid, meaning that it's not being used to pay rent or to buy and sell goods, to pay wages. As a proportion of the total amount of money in the money supply, the amount used to pay wages has been going down over time.
Tariffs have likewise been used to end 5 of the 8 wars that I settled. I settled 8 wars, whether you like it or not, including India, Pakistan, big ones, nuclear, could have been nuclear. Prime Minister of Pakistan said yesterday at the great meeting that we had, the peace board, he said yesterday that President Trump could have saved 35 million lives by getting us to stop fighting. They were getting ready to do some bad things. But they've given us great national security, these tariffs have. And together with our strong borders, reduced fentanyl coming into our country by 30% when I use them as a penalty against countries illegally sending this poison into our country.
Actually, a really great confirmation of how little illegal immigration has to do with fentanyl trafficking across the border, that border crossings have plummeted to a tiny fraction of what they were under Biden. But fentanyl is only down 30%, according to him. You know, it's like, oh, shouldn't it be down like 90% or 95% or something? Down 30%? So overwhelmingly, the fentanyl was coming in through like legal citizens or legal immigrants who were trafficking it.
To poison our youth. All of those tariffs remain. They all remain. I don't know if you know that or not. They all remain. We're still getting them. And we will after the decision. I guess there's nobody left to appeal to. But again, those three people, such respect. I've had a lot of respect for them anyway, but such great respect. But other alternatives will now be used to replace the ones that the court incorrectly rejected. We have alternatives. Great alternatives. Could be more money. We'll take in more money. And we'll be a lot stronger for it.
Hold on, Vosh. You can't say money is stored in the stock market because the stocks are exchanged between people for money. The stocks themselves are not money. Yeah, but you hold on to it. Like money you hold as in equity is illiquid. I mean, you could if you're like day trading, I guess. But the vast majority of the money that's in the stock market is kept there. I mean, theoretically for years and years and years, you know. The point is to speculate. You're not really like pulling that at any moment. Theoretically liquid, but that's just not how it plays out. Also, once it's liquidated, it gets added into the M2 money supply. So if you wanted to do calculations on like what percentage of like each year of the total value of the stock market is liquidated from like from equity into like more liquid currency, you could do that. You know, it is added in there into a savings account or whatever. Well, that would be M1 now, as of 2020.
And hundreds of billions of dollars will continue to do so. To show you how ridiculous the opinion is, however, the court said that I'm not allowed to charge even $1. I can't charge $1. Can't charge a dollar. I would have used one penny, but we don't make the pennies anymore. We save money. Can't charge $1 to any country under IEEPA. Not $1. I assume to protect other countries. This must have been done to protect those other countries, certainly not the United States of America, which they should be interested in protecting. That's what they're supposed to be protecting. But I am allowed to cut off any and all trade or business with that same country. In other words, I can destroy the trade. I can destroy the country. I'm even allowed to impose a foreign country destroying embargo. I can embargo. I can do anything I want, but I can't charge $1. Because that's not what it says. And that's not the way it even reads. I can do anything I want to do to them, but I can't charge any money. So I'm allowed to destroy the country, but I can't charge them a little fee. I could give them a little two-cent fee, but I cannot charge under any circumstances. I cannot.
It is technically true. The president does have a lot of power in this regard.
Charge them anything. Think of that. How ridiculous is that? I'm allowed to embargo them. I'm allowed to tell them you can't do business in the United States anymore. We want you out of here. But if I want to charge them $10, I can't do that. It's incorrect. Their decision's incorrect. But it doesn't matter because We have very powerful alternatives that have been approved by
the founding fathers were dumbasses, TBH. This isn't because of the founding fathers. There are just powers that Congress has ceded to the president. That's it. The biggest one being the ability to declare war. Like, the founding fathers did not confer unto the president the ability to declare war. Now nobody has to declare war because everything is a fucking, you know, police action. It's been getting worse, and now it's getting, like, much worse, you know. That being said, yes, the founding fathers were also dumbasses.
Decision. You know, they've been approved by the decision for those that thought they had us. And they're saying that I have the absolute right to license, but not the right to charge a license fee. So think of that. I have the right to license, which is a very powerful word. In many ways, license is more powerful than tariffs. In fact, I was thinking about using it. But they came up with the idea that I can license, just like the people that were opposing me told them to do, but not the right to charge a license fee. Think of that. Who ever heard of such a thing? What license has ever been issued without the right to charge a fee? You get a license, you charge a fee. It's automatic, but not with this court. But now the court has given me the unquestioned right to ban all sorts of things from coming into our country, to destroy foreign countries, but a much more powerful right than many people ever thought we even had, but not the right to charge a fee. How crazy is that?
Again, I know I keep saying, but new people keep coming in. The distinction here is that Congress, anything involving the generation of revenue, the power of the purse, that goes to Congress. If you are invoking tariffs to, like, raise money, that's Congress. That's what the Supreme Court said. Whereas the president has the ability to impose restrictions on trade based on national security requirements. So essentially what Trump is saying is, I can ban shit for any reason, but I can't get any money for it, which is true.
Our country is the hottest country anywhere in the world right now. And it was a dead country 1.5 years ago under an incompetent president. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going to go in a different direction, probably the direction that I should have gone the first time. But I read the language. I'm very good at reading language, and it read our way 100%. But now I'll go the way I could have gone originally, which is even stronger than our original choice. As Justice Kavanaugh, whose stock has gone so well, you have to see, I'm so proud of him, wrote in his dissent, although I firmly disagree with the court's holding today, the decision might not substantially constrain a president's ability to order tariffs going forward. So,
because he would just do it under the apparatus of national security, yes.
Night, think of that.
You got a gallon of spit in your mouth, sir.
Substantially constrained. And it doesn't. He's right. In fact, I can charge much more than I was charging. So I'm going to just start. Although I firmly disagree with the court's holding today, the decision might not substantially constrain a president's ability to order tariffs going forward. That's because numerous other federal statutes, which is so true, authorize the president to impose tariffs and might justify most, if not all, of the tariffs issued in this case. Even more tariffs, actually. Those statutes include, think of that, those statutes include, for example, the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, Section 232. All of these things I know so well. The trade.
I was just thinking, like, he had Lutnick or somebody, like, write these out for him. He has no fucking idea what he's reading. He's so funny, dude. He's so fucking funny.
The Act of 1974, Sections 122, 201, 301, and the Tariff Act of 1930, Section 338, all clear, but it's a little bit longer process. I thought I'd make things simple, but they didn't let us do that. I would like to thank Justice Kavanaugh for his, frankly, his genius and his great ability. Very proud of that appointment. In actuality, while I am sure that they did not mean to do so, the Supreme Court's decision today made a president's ability to both regulate trade and impose tariffs more powerful and more crystal clear rather than less. I don't think they meant
it did not.
That. I'm sure they didn't. It's terrible. And to think that the Democrats who oppose this only because they want to go the opposite way, they'd like to pack the court. They want to put on 21 people. They want to pack the court, pack the Supreme Court. Maybe they should do it. Maybe they would be better off if they did it. They want to pack the court. They want to do anything to hurt our country.
Wouldn't that be nice?
There will no longer be any doubt and the income coming in and the protection of our companies and country will actually increase because of this decision. I don't think the court meant that, but it's the way it is. Based on longstanding law and hundreds of victories, and even, as I was pointed out before, even thousands of victories over the years, to the contrary, the Supreme Court did not overrule tariffs. They merely overruled a particular use of IEEPA tariffs. And essentially, it's
as an accelerationist, should I be upset the tariffs are going away? I don't think the tariffs are going away, man. The whole press conference is Trump saying, in spite of the Supreme Court ruling, I will continue to do everything I was doing and more. I don't think they're going away. I think Trump's essentially saying, like, I'm ignoring the ruling. He's doing what he did before, which is he's pretending that the Supreme Court ruling gave him some new way of doing the thing that he was already doing. It doesn't. He is openly said that the Supreme Court ruling was unambiguous. Not that it was needed, because we already knew what the responsibility of Congress was with regard to taxation, but the tariffs, using tariffs as a way of generating revenue rather than in specific national security concerns, is the purview of Congress. And what Trump is essentially saying is, nuh-uh. So, I mean, it's like, so what are they going to do? Send marshals? You know? Who's going to do anything about this?
To get a fee. I can do anything I want with IEEPA, anything. I just can't charge anybody for it.
That's what a tariff is.
I can license, I just can't charge them. It's ridiculous, but it's okay because we have other ways, numerous other ways.
Like?
The ability to block, embargo, restrict, license, or impose any other condition on a foreign country's ability to conduct trade.
Except tariffs. You can do all those things, but you can't charge them money, which is what a tariff is.
With the United States under IEEPA has been fully confirmed by this decision. So now there's no doubt, because, you know, there were a lot of questions about tariffs because no president was smart enough to use them to protect our country from those countries and businesses that were ripping us off. You took a look at the deficits that we had with some of these countries. It was disgraceful what they got away with for many
minutes. The trade deficit has gone up. Just repeating that. We now intake more than before.
Many decades. But now we know, because this decision affirms all those things that some people weren't sure about. In order to protect, and it says so, in order to protect our country, a president can actually charge more tariffs than I was charging in the past period of a year under the various tariffs authorities. So we can use other of the statutes, other of the tariff authorities, which have also been confirmed and are fully allowed.
Therefore, notice how he's not saying which law gives him the authority to impose tariffs in other countries. He's pointing out correctly that IEEPA, which is, by the way, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, gives him the ability to do a bunch of other stuff. We already knew the president can embargo other countries. That's not new. Licensing, embargoing, blocking trade, anything in the name of national security or a national emergency. We already knew that. So what allows you to do tariffs? He hasn't named a law, has he? Did anyone miss that? Did I miss? He keeps alluding to these other laws that give him even more powerful tariff powers. Has he named the law?
For effective immediately, all national security tariffs under Section 232 and existing Section 301 tariffs. They're existing.
Well, there we go. But what's the law?
They're there. Remain in place, fully in place, and in full force and effect. Today, I will sign an order to impose a 10% global tariff under Section 122 over and above our normal tariffs already being charged. And we're also initiating several Section 301 and other investigations to protect our country from unfair trading practices of other countries and companies.
He did cite a section of U.S. code about national security tariffs. So my understanding is that he has the ability. It says you can impose a 10% global tariff, but you're limited to 150 days of implementation without congressional approval. What is he referring to that would replace the existing tariffs?
Thank you for your attention to this matter. And I say quite simply, which I've said for a long time, make America great again. And interestingly, we've already made it great, so I don't have to use that. But I don't think we'll ever give up on MAGA. MAGA's always going to be with us. If you have a few questions, you can let us know. But just to end, so we're going forward. We will be able to take in more money. And there'll no longer be doubt, because there was always doubt. I know the people that brought the lawsuit, and, you know, they're sleazebags, major sleazebags, but I know them. And they're foreign country-centric. They were sending things into our country, and the people representing them knew full well, but they were sending things into our country, and they were beneficial to other countries, but very, very bad for us. And I stopped it, and we'll just keep it going. So we have more of a, we have a totally firm.
I'm looking through what Justice Kavanaugh listed in his dissent as to what the president might use. And so far, at least off the first one, this is bunk. The Trade Expansion Act of 1962, Section 232 for national security, authorized the president to adjust imports, including through tariffs, if the Department of Commerce finds that specific goods are imported in quantities that threaten to impair national security. So again, this is once more a specific national security designation. You can't use this to tariff the entire planet. Well, I guess, I'm sorry, I apologize. Trump can do whatever he wants. He breaks the law every day. He rapes children. There's no, like, obviously, when I say, like, you know, the law doesn't allow this. What I mean is, like, technically, I'm putting on the nerd glasses. You know, like, it's not, it doesn't reflect reality, I guess, you know. So the Section 232 thing is bunk. In a sane society, he could be sued over all this. What about the Trade Act of 1974? Hold on. Trade Act 1974. There's three listed by Kavanaugh here. Sections 122, 201, and 301. Well,
decision now. And I don't think the court meant it, because the court doesn't show great spirit toward our country, in my opinion. A lot of bad decisions, but there are usually ways around it. This is something we could have done, as Justice Kavanaugh said, we could have done this originally.
301 doesn't work because it doesn't specifically refer to... Okay, these are... sorry, this is... I'm going to just let the conference play out and not interrupt it every time I learn something new about these shit-ass laws. But, like, if you want a phenomenal example of... how much authority Congress has deferred to the president, look at what Kavanaugh referred to. There are like three congressional bills that have basically said, yeah, if there's an emergency, the president can just do whatever he wants, basically. Does it give him unlimited tariff authority? No, but it does give him a lot of authority. So, I mean, to the extent to which we have like a real functioning democracy, I don't know. It seems like Congress willfully ceded a lot of its power. Really bad.
But we're doing it now, and the numbers could be far greater than the hundreds of billions we've already taken in. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, I'm very curious.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Justice Thomas and Alito, as you know, are the most conservative constitutional justices. Do you think that you'll get to appoint two more justices later this term with similar ideologies? And what type of vetting process will they go through to ensure the upholding?
I don't know, but they're great justices. That's all I can say. And I hope they're going to be around a long time. I hope they're going to stay healthy. They're great people. They're great. And Justice Alito, too, to add to the group. These are great men.
Right.
With a great love of our country and a great understanding of the law.
Mr. President, are you going to ask Congress to take additional action on tariffs now?
No, I don't need to. It's already been approved. I mean, I would ask Congress and probably get it. When people look at the real numbers and you look at hundreds of billions of dollars that have come into our country. Yesterday, I was at a steel plant, as you know, and went to
the one where one of the workers called you a pedophile. That great, Ford plant?
Great place, great plant, great, wonderful people. And they were telling me, I said to them, you were there, a lot of the press in this room. course, I don't think this plane's big enough to take the press in this room, but a lot of the press right here, we're in Georgia. And I said to the owner, I made a speech at a factory. They make steel products. And I said, how are you? Nice to meet you. How's business? President, I'd love to kiss you. This is a very powerful man. I don't want to be kissed by that man, but a very powerful, strong man. He's been in the steel business for many years. His father started it. And he said, sir, I want to kiss you. I said, why? He said, because we were down to working 1 hour a week, and then you came in and imposed tariffs, and all of that foreign junk that they were dropping into our country stopped. And we're now going to double shifts, 7 days a week, and we may be very soon going to 24 hours around the clock, almost 7 days a week. He said, sir, I want to kiss you so badly. And I said, no, thank you. But you know what? He just, and just to finalize it, he said,
I wish I lived in North Korea so that I grew up with the kind of propagandistic conditioning that would allow me to look at something like this and be like, yep, that sounds right. It'd be nice to, it's the disconnect, the real humiliation is the disconnect between like living in a country where you're told like, this is a democracy, critical thinking. And then like this happens and everyone in this room is going to let that slide. No one here is willing to risk their job by saying that's bullshit. Nobody here believes that.
Well, this is a great place in Georgia, he said. All up and down the highway. Same exact answer, sir. We're all going out of business. We're going to go bankrupt. We're all going out of business. And now every one of us are thriving and we're hiring people like we haven't. He said, like I've never, and he's been in business for, I think, 45 years, like we've never hired before. That's because of tariffs.
Manufacturing jobs are down across the country.
And we're going to keep it going the same way. And it's, you're going to start to see the results in a year from now when all those factories start that are under construction right now. You see all the construction numbers are so good. Those construction workers are building factories that are going to be open, including not only AI, which is big, but car plants coming in from Canada who ripped us off for 30% of our market. Mexico ripped us off for a big portion. Over the years, they've taken our market. They've taken our cars. They manufacture them in Japan, Germany, and all over the place because nobody standing in this position, the position I have as president of the United States, had the insight, the courage. Well, I don't know what it is to charge tariffs. You can make your product outside. You can put our people out of business. You can put everybody on the unemployment rolls. But if you're going to make a car in some other country, you're going to pay a 15, 20, 30% tariff. And those things would have never happened. We wouldn't have lost our business. Same thing with, as an example, Taiwan. Taiwan came in. They stole our chip business. They make chips. For 30 years longer, they
China should just invade Taiwan.
And they put our...
It's not like we'd do anything about it. Like, they should just get it over with now while Trump's president. They should just, like, fucking rip the Band-Aid. Jesus Christ.
Companies, Intel would be now the largest company. I saved Intel. I literally saved it at the beginning of this administration. And now all those companies...
What do you mean stole? They just made chips we weren't making? American industry has been doing this for ages. Biden placed a 100% tariff on Chinese electric vehicles because our car companies were whining that they couldn't keep up with their subsidized industry, even though we subsidize our industry in the form of tariffs, in addition to other things. This goes back to like a long storied tradition of American industry whining that it has to compete with the rest of the world and our country getting more and more antagonistic because of it.
In Taiwan are building factories in Arizona, Texas, and various other places because they don't want to pay tariffs. They're all pouring into the United States. But just like that great patriot said yesterday, sir, what you've done, nobody thought was possible. And Steve Moore, a highly respected economist, came into my office yesterday. He said, you've done something nobody's ever done. 22 Nobel Prize winners in economics said we would right now be in a recession. And you said, no, we're going to have a booming country. We're going to have a booming country. You were right. All 22 were wrong. And you were right. This country is booming. And it's booming because of the election on November 5th. And it's booming for another reason. It's booming because of tariffs. Yeah, please, go ahead. Thank you,
Mr. President. What will you say ahead of this decision that if the Supreme Court
rules... Yeah, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. What will you say to foreign nations who seek to renegotiate their deals? And what did you mean a moment ago when you said that the Supreme Court has been swayed by foreign interests?
Well, I think that foreign interests are represented by people that I believe have undue influence. They have a lot of influence over the Supreme Court, whether it's through fear or respect or friendships. I don't know. But I know some of the people that were involved on the other side, and I don't like them. I think they're real slime balls. And got to do what's right for the country. You got to do what's right for the Constitution. That's why I respect so much Justice Thomas and Alito, Kavanaugh, because they not only dissented, their dissent is so strong. When you read their dissent, you know, a lot of times you'll read a dissent and it's like, well, you don't know, it could go either way. There's no other way. The good news is, it's like Justice Kavanaugh said, very strongly said, you have other ways you can go. You don't have to go that way. You can go other way. There are numerous other ways you can go. And frankly, this should have been done by presidents many years ago. They allowed our country to be eaten alive. We lost 50% of our car business. We used to make cars. We made all the cars. And then Mexico came, Canada came, and Japan and Germany. But they're all coming back now. They're all coming back at record levels.
What's better, an actual dictatorship of this? I maintain that an actual, like, proper technical dictatorship would be run in many ways more competently than this, because the leader would have to worry about being replaced. Whereas now we have the worst of both worlds. We have, like, completely unchecked executive power with basically no limits, except for in the court system, admittedly. But then, on the other hand, we have a country with so much money and so much institutional stability that there's no risk that incompetence might overthrow the whole thing.
Please. I'm not talking to you. I don't talk to CNN. It's fake news.
President, yesterday you made the case that the economy...
All that effort, your chief legal correspondent saying that Trump has merely been testing the limits of authority, all that just to get ignored anyway.
It's the hottest it's been in a long time. Right. January jobs report...
Oh, wait, sorry, hold on. We have a sycophant.
Mr. President, yesterday you made the case that the economy is the hottest it's been in a long time. Right. January jobs report...
You can always tell that it's one of their sycophants because they're always 25 years old and they sound like they just got pulled out of Groiper school.
Expectation, CPI report, beat expectation, real wages are up. What would you tell Americans who are worried that this decision will kind of throw the economy that you have projected going in the right direction at a very rapid pace?
Also, they're really bad at pitching questions. Like, you might as well just say, what do you have to say to Americans who think you're not perfect in every way? You know, like, but they stumble over it. They're worked up. They're anxious. Big forehead. Well, yeah, he's balding at like 25.
Off track.
Well, thank you for the question. And I will say this. We really are at a very important point. I've been waiting for this decision so long. They could have made this decision a long time ago. Not complex. They're wrong on it. It's a ridiculous decision. But they should have released this a long time ago. We waited months. And that gave uncertainty. Now we have certainty. And I think you're going to see the country get much stronger because of it. Look, we were ripped off by almost every country in the world. If you look at the surpluses, almost every country in the world that did business with us, our people were stupid. And I blame presidents for it because they're ultimately the leader. We were being ripped off by almost every single country in the world had massive surpluses. China had...
Not that it actually matters what you ask him, because his answer is always going to be the same.
Hundreds of billions of dollars in surpluses with the United States. They rebuilt China. They rebuilt the army. We built China's army by allowing that to happen. I have a great relationship with President Xi, but he respects our country now. Now, what we've done, I charged China a 20% tariff as a penalty for sending fentanyl in. And that was 20 times more than they could make by selling fentanyl. And I said, you know, at some point you're going to say, like, and they have reduced it. You know, fentanyl is down by more than 30% coming into our country. Part of that is our strong border. We have a strong border now. But thank you. Thank you for your question.
Mr. President, yes. Sir, you warned once in a social media post that if the Supreme Court did this, shot down your tariffs, The U.S. would be, quote, financially defenseless. Are we financially defenseless
no,
right now?
No, because we're doing something in a different way. We're doing something in a very powerful way, and we're using things that some people thought we should have used in the first place. But it's more complicated. It's a little more complicated. The process takes a little more time, but the end result is going to get us more money, and I think it's going to be great. Yeah, please. Peter, go ahead. Thank
you, is the everyone ripping us off rhetoric seriously originating just for the dog shit investment manufacturing? No. It's just a typical fascist line. The fascist must be perpetually humiliated. It's a cuck fetish of a political ideology. The Nazis did it with the Jews. The idea that the Jews sold them out in World War One. It's always the same thing. They had the energy they try to play off of is like, well, everyone's fucking our pussies all the time, you know?
Trump. So since Liberation Day, there's about $175 billion in tariff revenue that is now in limbo. Do you have to refund $175 billion?
Thank you, Peter. Very fair question. They take months and months to write an opinion, and they don't even discuss that point. We've taken in hundreds of billions of dollars, not millions, hundreds of billions of dollars. And so I said, well, what happens to all the money that we took in? It wasn't discussed. Wouldn't you think they would have put one sentence in there saying that keep the money or don't keep the money, right? I guess it has to get litigated for the next 2 years. So they write this terrible, defective decision, totally defective. It's almost like not written by smart people. And what they do, they don't even talk about that. Your question is very basic. That was the first question I asked also to make you feel good. They say, what about all the money that we've taken in? Sir, they don't discuss that. How crazy is that?
What you're saying is, are you saying that you don't plan to honor refunds?
The funny thing is that their insistence on not laying out a legal pathway to refunds is probably because they wanted to avoid the possibility of giving Trump so audacious an order that he would defy them, but he's defied them anyway. You know, they wanted to avoid prompting him into a constitutional crisis with like a direct order, but now they're in one anyway. So, you know.
For companies that file for them?
I just told you the answer, right? I told you the answer. It's not discussed. We'll end up being in court for the next 5 years.
5 years?
Go ahead, Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. When you are talking about the relationship with countries that you have sought trade deals with, do you anticipate that they will seek to renegotiate those? What do you say to them? And do you view this as a potential undermining power for your
negotiations? We're going straight ahead with 10% straight across the board, which was the absolute right to do. And that's taking place. That's a lot of money coming into our country. And then during that period of about 5 months, we are doing the various investigations necessary to put fair tariffs or tariffs, period, on other countries. So we're doing that period, but we're immediately instituting the 10% provision, which we're allowed to do. And in the end, I think we'll take in more money than we've taken in before.
Mr. President, you've used the tariff revenue to pay for a host of federal policies. You claim that they will pay for them. What happens
well,
to
like the farmers? We took care of farmers. You know, the farmers were mistreated by foreign countries very badly, very, very badly. And last week, I gave them $12 billion out of tariff money. We intend to, out of tariff money, because just so you understand, we have tariffs. We just have them in a different way. And now they've been confirmed by the Supreme Court of the United States. So there's no longer that question out there.
Do you think Trump actually thinks the U.S. economy is doing well and that employment's up? Yes, he absolutely 100% believes that, without a doubt, guaranteed, easily.
About tariffs. And we'll be taking in hundreds of billions of dollars. And countries that have treated us badly will have to pay a price for treating us badly. And countries that have been good to us will be treated very well. We just left the top person in a place called Vietnam, just left my office. Great gentleman, strong and smart. He said, you know, I think this means you're allowed to charge us more tariffs than before. And Canada said to Jameson, I might want to say it, Jameson, but Canada said, I hope you win this decision, because if you don't win, you'll actually be allowed to charge us, with a little additional work, higher tariffs. Jameson, you want to comment on that?
Yes, sir. So, to the president's point, we have a lot of tools out there. We have Section 122, which will be implemented today. It will be signed today and implemented very shortly.
Who the fuck does this guy look like? Why does this guy look so much like somebody?
We have Section 301 investigations, which are incredibly legally durable, where we can investigate.
Am I thinking of Q? What's his name? John Delancey?
Unfair trading practices that have led to our huge trade deficit. And so you can look forward in the coming days and weeks to seeing all of that come out. No. And we're going to keep continuity in the program. We're going to keep addressing this so that the deficit
Neil Patrick keeps Harris? Going down. He does look like Neil Patrick Harris. Maybe everyone looks like Charlie Kirk.
Several of Republicans in Congress have supported this decision by the Supreme Court. And Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, has called you a wannabe king.
Why would him a low IQ?
But why would
he doesn't even know? And I watched him the other day interview. The guy doesn't even know what a tariff is.
But there's been bipartisan criticism.
No, not bipartisan. Excuse me.
There's several Republicans have said that.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't you just work with Congress to come up with a plan?
I don't have to.
To push tariffs.
I have the right to do tariffs, and I've always had the right to do tariffs, and it's all been approved by Congress. So there's no reason to do it. All we're doing is we're going through a little bit more complicated process. Not complicated very much. But a little more complicated than what we had. We'll be able to take in tariffs, more tariffs. And the Congress people and the Congress.
The Canadian tariffs last week. Yeah, there's been votes in the Senate against it.
Yeah, because we lost.
Notice how White House reporters, White House correspondents actually do have the ability to ask follow up questions, even to interrupt the president, and he'll even engage with them. It's just that all of them choose not to.
Republicans or three Republicans because they're not good Republicans. What you don't say, see, you don't say that we had. That we got 215 votes.
You need 218 for something to pass.
Yeah, sure we do. We might have lost three votes. And we got, and what was the score on the Republican side? 215-3, right? But you don't say that. We have great unity. There's great unity in the Republican Party, and I hope everyone's going to vote Republican, because otherwise you won't have a country left, because these people have been destroying, they are destroying our country. Please.
Mr. President, the 122 tariffs, that 10%,
yeah.
Is that going to be for 150 days, or do you want to charge that indefinitely?
We have a right to do pretty much what we want to do, but we're going to charge it starting effectively. I think it's 3 days from now. Yeah, please.
Isn't the not good Republicans thing an insane admission of weakness? Not to suggest that it's good that the president is doing everything on its own, but this whole thing has been a demonstration of weakness, because a real authoritarian country would have the Congress pass overwhelmingly everything the president wanted. That's what you want. If they were capable of it, that's what they would do as well. The problem is they don't have 60 senators, you know? They also don't have the margins they need in the House. The House is basically gridlocked at this point. It's essentially 50-50. Because people have resigned and died and Marjorie Taylor Greene's out and so on. It does make his hold in the country look very weak, that he doesn't feel like he can use the legislature as a vessel for presidential power, you know? The unitary executive theory is not one that confers like great strength. The point here is to loot the country as quickly as possible. The point here is not to establish a 1,000-year Reich.
Mr. President, you speak to a lot of factory workers, a lot of manufacturing workers. What does the Supreme Court ruling say? What's that message to those factory workers?
Well, I think the factory workers are happy because we're now telling them that they're going to... Look, the man I met with yesterday who owned a factory... was out of business. He was out of business. And now he's employing five times. In fact, I walked in, he's got a brand new crane. I said, how old is that crane? We got it in December. He's allowed to write it off in 1 minute. The Great Big Beautiful Act gave no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. He said this great, big, beautiful bill, frankly, has been the best thing that's ever happened for the workers of the much more so than for rich people. Mm-hmm. The only thing it does for rich people, it allows them to hire a lot more people.
It's massively reduced their taxes, yeah.
But when I saw him, and then he said, it's all up and down the line. This is a place in Georgia, all up and down, other factories doing different, not only steel products, different. He said, every one of us was out of business. We could barely make it. Some of them were down to less than an hour a week. Think of it, 1 hour a week to make just a few little trinkets or whatever they make. Now they're going round the clock. I had it a month ago. I went to Michigan, went to Ford, and I met with
Bill Ford, the head of Ford. And we were in one of the biggest plants, an original plant from the early 1900s, where, by the way, just I might add this, it's not really relevant, but it's all relevant. Murders are down the lowest since 1900, around the time that he had this plant. That's 125 years. We have the lowest murder rate. Okay. And our crime is way down in the country. The factories that we're talking about, the people that we're talking about, they are so thrilled with Trump. So whether we charge IEEPA tariffs or whether we charge tariffs under a different section, that's what we're going to be doing. There's no way we can lever. This is what happened to our country. This is why we owe $38 trillion, which we'll get rid of in pretty good course. We have a very incompetent Fed chairman who likes high interest rates.
Are you guys excited for the appointment of the new Epstein-affiliated Fed chairman? Are you guys hyped the fuck up for negative 8% interest rates? Are you guys ready? It's so fucking over. It's unimaginably over. Hey, for a brief window of time, that'll be a good time to get a mortgage, okay? After that, though?
Political reasons he likes them. But we're going to have somebody very good. Interest rates should come down.
Yep.
Substantially, I think we should pay the lowest interest rates on the planet. There should be no country, and we don't do that. We're number 38. This is just bad policy for a long period of time. But what's happened is we've made America strong again. We've made America great again. We should pay. As an example, the country of Switzerland, we were getting almost no tariffs from then. We had a $40 billion deficit.
Why do they want to destroy their own economy? Because they're looting. Again, like these are not industrialists. Everyone believes the system is dying. It's over. It's all over. Panic sell everything. They're just liquidating the assets. It's not a long-term plan. It's like a private equity company, you know? The goal is you buy stuff up, you hike up prices, you lower quality, and then you shred everything for as much cash as you can get for the raw materials. And that's it. That's the goal. There's no longevity here, okay? None of these people think this game is going to last long.
And the prime minister called me up. She said, but we are a small country, because I said we're going to raise it to 39% from nothing. That would have rendered them not very successful, as opposed to right now they're considered elite. But if we put a tariff, they would. And I realized then, she said, but sir, we are a small country. I said, you're a small country with a big deficit for us. You're making a lot of money off the United States. If we do that, a lot of these elite countries, they're elite because we let them make so much money. And I want them to do well, but I don't want them to do well on the backs of the American taxpayers. So I appreciate your question. I think it's a reasonable answer.
I saw a tweet the other day, and it was true, and it occurred to me a lot of people might not remember this because they weren't aware of the housing market like prior to, I guess, 2016 or so. But the tweet, it was something like, people don't realize how good the economy used to be or how good the housing market used to be. It used to be that if you had a roommate, people assumed you were gay. Which is true. That was a common talking point. I remember back when I was in high school, the idea of like getting a roommate out of high school or into college or whatever, it was like, why would you have a roommate? Like, you special buddies? Because rent was so much lower back then. It's crazy how much we've lost and how quickly.
I saw that you were disappointed with that, but were you surprised with this decision? What you felt when you...
I was surprised because I thought that what we did was number one, according to... I mean, I read the paragraphs. I read very well. Great comprehension. I read everything there is to read, and I said, we can't lose this case. But we can when judges are political.
So what is the bad thing that will happen after the interest rates are cut? I have other videos where I talk about it more, and I'm not like a super-duper committed econ guy, but the basic gist of it is that the rape of the country, the transfer of wealth to the the upper class is facilitated in large part by a financial scheme that only works with very low interest rates. The idea is that if interest rates are very low, you pay low interest on the loans you take, so it's very easy to borrow money, and you use that borrowed money to invest, and the return on the investment is greater than what you have to pay in interest on the loan, meaning that the best way to make money isn't to build things or provide services or make products or whatever. The best way to make money is through financialization. And if everyone with money is like, what kind of rube would want to build things, sell products or services? I should just do financial schemes. That's like, it's a very efficient way of making money. And also it's contributed to like why everything is the way it is right now, essentially.
I want to be politically correct when they're catering to a group of people in D.C. Maybe I don't know what it is, because when you read it, there's no other interpretation. There is no other interpretation. But it's okay, because what has come out, and I'll say it for the third time and maybe the last time in a while, is that we've taken the uncertainty of tariffs out, because we had uncertainty. We got sued by sleazebags, I know them well, that are very outside country, China-centric, but outside country-centric. And they're going to end up not doing as well as they did before. America was becoming really, really, we're strong again. Hey, we have the strongest military. I rebuilt the military in the first term. We have the most powerful military. We make the best equipment. And even them, you know, we could do much better. We have people that get paid a lot of money to manufacture Patriot missiles and javelins and all the different things. But when you want them, they're too slow. And we put them on notice, and they're going to make our country is building a lot of things right now, and our country is doing really well. And we're going to keep it that way. The bottom line is that the word certainty is now in the equation. Every single thing I said today is guaranteed certainty. It's been tested, as Jameson said, 1,000 times. Literally, I said hundreds of times. He said, sir, actually thousands of times. And won in all of the courts. And we're just going back to that. And the problem is that we had other presidents that weren't into trade. Maybe they weren't business-oriented. Maybe they weren't smart. We had some dummies, too, you know? I respectfully say we had some real dummies. So we are going to keep it going just as before, probably more so. But you're no longer going to be asked. Every time I got up, you'd ask, well, what happens if you can't charge tariffs? Now we can. And
sorry for being quiet. I was looking up out of curiosity, because we talk often about that scheme, right? Low interest rates facilitating borrowing than investing. I didn't realize total private debt is actually higher than U.S. government debt. I didn't realize there was that much of a schism. Total private debt, including financial corporate debt, is estimated to be over $40 trillion. I've never looked that over before. So that's not debt the government owes. That's debt, to a large extent, corporations have deliberately accrued borrowing from banks so they can invest the borrowed money with. This is true for most of the world. Yeah, because the financialization of the economy is happening everywhere. This is like a global neoliberal program, though it is hastening, and it is particularly bad over here in a lot of cases. But like, hey, look at Japan in the 1990s, right? Nations have like debt bubbles that pop sometimes. Though at this point, if our debt bubble pops, that would be pretty bad. You know, that would be pretty bad. That would be a little bit apocalyptic.
The way in their decision, they specifically said we can do these. We have alternatives. Yeah.
David, on the trade deals that were negotiated using IEEPA tariffs, yeah, do those stand now, or are they have to be
redone?
Well,
some of them stand. Many of them stand. Some of them won't, and they'll be replaced with the other tariffs.
Justices who ruled against this policy, striking it down, are they still invited to your State of the Union next?
Stupid question. Mind you, because of low interest rates, those banks aren't getting returns on their investments and are asking the Treasury for money. Yeah, the Treasury did a payout to banks just a couple of days ago, right? Probably going to get worse.
Will you speak with them?
They are invited. Barely.
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 Three are happily invited. No. They're barely invited. Honestly, I couldn't care less if they come, okay?
And there we go. Sorry, last time I paused the thing. That's a lie. total outstanding public and private debt across all sectors in the U.S. from 2000 to 2024. In 2000, here we are at 28.6 trillion, and now we're past 100. And it's been really going up the past couple of years, too. You know, it kind of slowed down here in the second half of Obama's presidency. Sheesh. Why do Americans keep borrowing? I literally just explained this.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the trade deal, which is the framework which is signed to be signed with India sometime soon, will that stand now? And on the decision, nothing changes?
No, nothing changes. They'll be paying tariffs, and we will not be paying tariffs. Our deal with India is they pay tariffs. This is a reversal from what it used to be, as you know. India, and I think Prime Minister Modi is a great gentleman, a great man, actually, but he was much smarter than the people that he was against in terms of the United States. He was ripping us off in India. So we made a deal with India, and it's a fair deal now, and we are not paying tariffs to them, and they are paying tariffs. We did a little flip.
All the deals are on. We're just going to do it a different way.
Mr. President.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I think there's another war that you started and you should take the credit, which is in Syria. Secretary Rubio, after his meeting in Munich with the Syrian foreign minister and the Kurdish general, Muslim Abdi, he said that President Trump was directly involved in efforts to stop the fighting between the Kurds and the Syrians. How will your administration will make sure that this peace is sustained? And do you support the idea
of... Well, it's a very different topic, and so I don't want to spend a lot of time. But all I can say is that the president of Syria, who I essentially put there, is doing a phenomenal job. He's a rough guy. He's not a choir boy. A choir boy couldn't do it. But Syria is coming together, really coming together well. And thus far, he's been very good to the Kurds. Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. President, what's your message to the Iranian people after 2 rounds of talks with them? Do you have any message to the Iranian people?
The Iranian people in Iran or people here?
People in Iran.
They better negotiate a fair deal. You know, the people of Iran are a lot different than the leaders of Iran. And it's very, very, very sad situation. But 32,000 people were killed over a relatively short period of time. They were going to hang 800 2 weeks ago.
It's been called illegal. How they're going to go impact the relationship with Russia, the new sanctions?
Well, I want Europe to strengthen.
All right, I think we got the gist. Yeah, so I don't know. Unrestrained presidential authority, everything's collapsing, et cetera, et cetera. You're all pretty familiar with how I feel about all this. I guess the question is, like, is the Supreme Court or is Congress or is anyone going to do anything about the open defiance of their very monumental ruling? You know, will anything be done? Probably not. But it's fun to imagine. I don't know. I don't really know. Kind of seems like the inertia's kind of set in at this point. You know what I'm saying? I wonder if those refunds are going to go through.